But first, of course, attention remains fixated on Russia and Ukraine, where Ukraine has imposed a state of emergency amid the rising tensions and fear of a conflict. President Joe Biden speaking yesterday about the first round of sanctions that the United States plans on leveraging against Russia. The president warning that the energy price impact of those actions may have a hit on American consumers as a result. Take a listen.
As we respond, my administration is using every tool at our disposal to protect American businesses and consumers from rising prices at the pump. As I said last week, defending freedom will have cost for us as well and here at home. We need to be honest about that. But as we do this, I'm going to take robust action to make sure the pain of our sanctions is targeted at the Russian economy, not ours.
Let's break that commentary down with our first guest of the afternoon hour here. Pavel Molchanov, Raymond James and Associates Energy Group Director, is here with us now. And Pavel, it's great to have you on the program. Obviously, the president there suggesting that the sanctions may have an impact here in the United States, but just maybe break down the interaction here. I mean, is this because there are Russian oil exports that American consumers are using? Is it because of inflationary pressures that could come from the globally kind of quoted price of a barrel of oil? What exactly is going on here?
Yeah, so the U.S. economy and the Russian economy actually have relatively little direct trade. It's a very different situation when we think about Europe. Half of Russia's oil exports goes into the European market, and the rest goes mainly to Asia. And three quarters of Russia's natural gas goes into the European market. So it is Europe that is the most directly affected if, in the worst case scenario, there were to be an all-out war with physical disruption to pipelines and, you know, potentially, actually having some oil and gas supply shortages. So the U.S. has a more derivative effect, which is to say, you know, oil is a global market. There's only one price of oil essentially around the world. When the prices go up across the Atlantic, they go up here as well. And because Russia is one of the world's top three oil producers, anything that, you know, directly affects its oil industry certainly would show up at the pump here, just as it would everywhere else.
Pavel, for talking specifically about European oil majors, any impact that would likely play out as a result of increased tensions between Russia and Ukraine, which one of the names are most exposed?
Well, the Russian oil industry is dominated by domestic companies. I mean, there is Rosneft and Gazprom, which are both state-controlled enterprises in Russia. There is Lukoil, which is private sector company, but is, you know, pretty close to the Kremlin. Those three companies represent the vast, vast majority of the oil and gas production, as well as refining that is in Russia. So there are some, you know, single digit, you know, exposure to Russia from Western oil and gas companies such as Total and Equinor, but it's really quite modest. I mean, in a perhaps ironic sense, the oil industry around the world loves this geopolitical tension because it raises the oil price for everybody. You know, Saudi Arabia and Brazil and the Western super majors as well. So it's worth pointing out, you know, the package of sanctions announced yesterday in Europe includes the first direct sanction against Russian energy, which is a ban on starting up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. This is gas rather than oil. The pipeline is not currently functioning. This was an $11 billion project owned by Gazprom. So if Germany hypothetically says Nord Stream 2 will never be allowed to operate, well, that's $11 billion of Gazprom money down the drain.
Now, as a follow-up to that, how important is the headline coming out of Nord Stream 2 here in the United States? Because We are also working through the headlines on the Iran deal, right? And it, given everything that you said with regards to the insulation by which the U.S. economy might have from some of the implications on supply, how important, which one is the more important headline here, the news coming out of Nord Stream 2 or the Iran deal?
Well, two different things. So Nord Stream 2, again, is natural gas, and natural gas is not a global market. The price of natural gas in Europe is currently 5 times higher than in the U.S. Now, some of that is because of the Russia-Ukraine crisis. But frankly, even if we go back 3 months ago, before the crisis, Europeans were paying 3 times more for natural gas because Europe simply does not produce, you know, the same level of abundance in gas that the North American market does. Iran has to do with oil, and which is a global market. So having a revised nuclear agreement with Iran that would open the door to sanctions being lifted would, all else being equal, help keep a lid on global oil prices. I think more or less the market expects some type of agreement between the major powers and Iran. So that's, you know, probably priced in. When we look at the commodity market, it's backwardated, which is to say downward sloping. Prices in oil futures a year from now are quite a bit lower than they are in today's trading. So that reflects, among other things, the resolution of the Iranian issue. But Europe, again, is much more exposed to Russia for natural gas. And in fact, you know, renewable energy, wind, solar, biomass, these ultimately are going to be the way that Europe disentangles itself from reliance on Russian natural gas. The more electricity European countries can generate from renewable sources, the less they have to worry about Nord Stream 2 or any other gas pipeline.
So, Pavel, on that point, does this particular crisis, does that accelerate the transition away from fossil fuels, especially if we're talking about European oil companies who, you know, quite frankly, have been much more aggressive in moving in that direction than their American counterparts?
You got it exactly right. The climate policy of the European Union and the UK separately are both mandating carbon neutrality or net zero CO2 emissions by 2050, and their intermediate targets, you know, by the end of this decade. So that is already, that's the baseline. What's happening right now creates a geopolitical urgency to diversifying away from Russian fossil fuels even more quickly than what would otherwise be mandated by these climate laws. And so, you know, when the new coalition government in Germany talks about getting 80% of Germany's electricity from renewables by the end of this decade, it's up from 40% today. That's a great case study, you know, of what we're talking about. If Germany is essentially self-sufficient in electricity, they never have to worry about natural gas from Russia, you know, going forward. So it will take time. Of course, these transitions do not take place on a spur of the moment, but over the next 5 to 10 years, you better believe it. And in the Kremlin, they ought to understand how much of a threat this is to the Russian economy. Half of Russia's exports and more than half of its government budget come from oil and gas. Well, that's going to dry up, and a lot sooner than it would have otherwise, you know, if we did not have this, you know, this war that Russia is trying to unleash.
Yeah, an ongoing story for sure. Pavel Molchanov, Raymond James and Associates Energy Group Director, thanks so much for breaking all of that down for us today.